This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's entirely possible that you are by now sick and tired of hearing about the virtues of superfoods. Kale and blueberries, Brussels sprouts and salmon. Foods so nutritious they are often said to be life-changing. They are often also fads. Anybody remember acai out there? Yes, it is a very first world problem, I know, but in a sense, similar things are happening in the developing world as well. Certain crops are being touted as panaceas to help alleviate hunger and poverty. But as Dan Bobkoff explains, it doesn't always work out that way.
I reached Rosie Kabantek by phone on her farm.
I'm Rosie Kabantek, farmer of Moringa here in the Philippines.
Her farm is in Pangasinan, a northwestern province. It's an area known for rice, but a few years ago she started adding a tree called Moringa. She heard about its potential. Nearly every part from roots to flowers is edible or thought to be medicinal.
Good for your body.
Good for your body. Also good medicine. Also good for money.
She says her monthly income doubled since she added about 2.5 acres of Moringa trees to her farm. Moringa is one of many of these so-called superfoods. There's the grain amaranth, the smelly jackfruit, trendy quinoa, even mung bean, to name just a few. If only farmers planted more of these, proponents say, we could alleviate hunger and poverty around the world.
One tree can change a family's life for generations.
This is Josh Schneider. He's managing partner at Global Breadfruit. It's a company trying to get farmers to replace some staple crops with breadfruit trees. The fruit is more like a potato and can be made into French fries and flour, gluten-free, of course.
This is something that tropical farmers can dominate this market, and it can really help grow their economies and lift these countries up out of poverty.
And this gets at one of the biggest debates in international agriculture. On one side, you have people like Schneider, who believe that the secret to reducing hunger is to promote new and niche crops. On the other, you have skeptics like William Masters.
People need to find the bright new thing to chase after.
Masters is chairman of the Food Nutrition Policy Department at Tufts. He says more often than not, so-called miracle crops like moringa or breadfruit are distractions.
Why is it that it didn't get identified as a huge success previously?
In other words, it's not like farmers haven't tried many of these crops before. Farmers experiment. They'll plant something new and see how it does. And over the years, many of these so-called superfoods failed for the most mundane of reasons. They take too long to grow, require too much labor, or are prone to pests. It's not as easy to spread breadfruit as wheat.
That search across all the available biodiversity has been going on for thousands of years, and it's led to a system that has found a half dozen or dozen major species that feed the world, and that's because those major species have some pretty amazing characteristics.
You know these, wheat, corn, rice, and the like. Governments, foundations, and colleges should spend their money and time improving what farmers are already growing, he says. That's not to say a niche crop can't ever explode and become a big part of the world's diet. Soybeans used to be regional, but in the last century, changes in breeding made it possible to grow them all over. All of this comes down to economics. Do these new crops have a market, both at home and for export? Will fads lead crops to rise and fall? Moringa may be about to have its moment, winding up in teas and even bath gels. That's partly why Rosie Kabantek, the farmer in the Philippines, is so excited.
Eat more moringa.
Plant more moringa. And that's it.
But even so, she isn't betting the farm on moringa. Most of her acres still grow a boring old staple, rice. I'm Dan Bobkoff from Marketplace.